If you have the EBC app, there are notes in there. I don't know how much. I can't do very, very many things at one time. But if you would like to follow along in the EBC app on the notes are in there today. And again, we just are glad you're worshiping with us. And we want to continue to worship, bow our hearts down before the Lord by opening His Word. And this morning we'll be in John 17. And as I said a few moments ago, I don't know that there's a better place we could go in the Word this morning. So, we're actually going to begin in chapter 16, verse 33. And before we begin, I just want to ask the Lord to lead us this morning in His Word. Lord, thank you for Dustin's leadership and just leading us to sing to you. God, thank you that you are working even when we don't see it. But Lord, I believe I've already seen it this morning. I believe I've seen you working in my heart this morning. And I pray that many can testify to that. I pray that many who don't know you will see that you are working in the midst of your people, even in a dark time, even in a scary season. Lord, we pray now, we ask specifically that you would speak to us through your word. We ask that for those of us who belong to you, have come to you in repentance and faith, believing and placing all of our faith in all of the things that Jesus did on our behalf and nothing that we have done, boasting in Him alone, Lord, we pray that you would use this time to make us more like you. And we pray for those who may be listening in that have yet to come to Jesus fully. Perhaps have known of Him their entire lives, but they have no relationship with Him. They haven't come to Him in repentance and faith. Lord, we pray that you would use your word to bring them to repentance and faith today. Lord, we ask that you would do what only you can in our midst this morning. Amen. John 16, verse 33. These chapters, excuse me, these chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John are kind of a discourse of Jesus teaching his disciples about what will happen in the future and the immediate future in their lives. And he's pointing to his crucifixion, that in a few days he will be crucified, but he will rise again 3 days after he dies. He's pointing to the fact that the Holy Spirit will come and fill them. And so he's giving them promises. He's telling them some of the things that will happen. He gets to the end of this discourse, and he says in chapter 16, verse 33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, so much we could spend the rest of our time in this verse alone, but we won't. We just want to take our cue for what's going on in the context of John 17 from this verse. Jesus says, in this world, the world we're living in now, even in the midst of this turbulent time, he says that you will have peace, we will have peace, those who belong to Him will have peace in Him. In the world, we will have tribulation. That word tribulation, the simplest translation of that word is just trouble. We will have trouble in this world. In other words, this world is troubled, but in Jesus, His people will have peace, even in the midst of this troubled world. That's what Jesus tells us. And then he goes on to pray for us. And before he prays for us, he tells us to take heart because he has overcome the world. As we said earlier on in our service, Jesus was tempted in every way we are, but he did not sin. So he overcame sin, and then he died on the cross, and he walked out of the grave, and he overcame death. Jesus has overcome the world. So we are of good courage, even in the midst of a troubled world. Verse 17, Jesus begins to pray. It says, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. So he's about to pray, and the entirety of chapter 17 is a prayer for us in this troubled world. Now take that in just for a moment. Jesus prayed for his disciples in this troubled world. Jesus knew and told us, his disciples then and us now, that we would have trouble in this world, and then he prayed for us. And you may say, well, he's praying for his disciples. He's not really praying for us, but he is praying for us. You go on down to verse 20 of chapter 17, and he says this in the midst of his praying. He says, I do not ask for these only, meaning the 12 that are with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That applies to us. If you're not a Christian today, and you one day become a Christian, you place faith in Jesus and turn from your sin, this prayer will apply to you. If you are a Christian, this prayer applies to you now. So just take that in for a moment. This troubled world that we lived in, Jesus knew it. He told us it would be so. He knew about COVID-19. And he prayed for us. He prayed for us as we live in this troubled world. And in this passage, he makes four requests on our behalf. And so we're going to walk through those through chapter 17. We're going to read a chunk of chapter 17, and then we're going to see what Jesus prayed for us, and we're going to apply it to our lives. So let's keep going. Jesus prayed for his disciples, aka us, that belong to Jesus, his church, in this troubled world. He made four requests. Read verses 1 through 10 in chapter 17 with me. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of this world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and I come to you in and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So, request one. Jesus prayed, Father, glorify your Son in this troubled world for the sake of the world. Look at verse 1. You see Jesus' request, Father, glorify your Son. So he's talking about himself. Jesus is the perfect Son of God, the eternal Son of God who was and is to come, the Alpha and Omega. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we see the Son here, Jesus, praying to the Father, Father, glorify your Son. Verse 5, now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So Jesus is pointing to his own eternal existence, eternity past, eternity in the future. Jesus says he had glory like we cannot imagine before the world ever existed. He was glorified in a way that we could not imagine before the world ever existed. And he's saying, Father, glorify me now in that way. We may look at this passage and we may say, how is this request from Jesus to the Father on our behalf? But look at what Jesus says about himself. Verse 2, he says, speaking to the Father, you have given him, that is Jesus, authority over all flesh to give eternal life. So if Jesus is glorified, The one who has authority to give eternal life is glorified. Verse 3, he goes on to say, and this eternal life is that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So, eternal life, he further defines it as knowing God the Father and knowing God the Son. Having a personal relationship with them. God the Father, who was and is to come. God the Son, who was and is to come. Like, eternally existent. Eternal life is knowing them, trusting them, turning from our sins to them. Have this word glorified throughout this passage. And thinking about what this means, we need to kind of put this in perspective. What does it mean for Jesus to be glorified? What does it mean for us to glorify Jesus, the one who is eternal life and the one who has authority to give eternal life? When I was 9 years old, I moved to the state of Georgia, to Southwest Georgia, from Alabama. I was born and bred an Auburn fan, and I still am. And ever since I moved into the state of Georgia, I've had UGA fans glorifying the University of Georgia before me with the hopes that I would someday turn and also glorify the University of Georgia Bulldogs. They honestly love UGA, and they honestly believe that I would be better off if I also loved UGA. And so they want me to cheer for UGA and bark at the TV like UGA fans do along with them, because they honestly believe and they love that Georgia would be glorified more, but they also believe that would be good for me. I think you probably see the parallel already. Like, when Jesus is glorified, it means that he is being pointed to, because he deserves all the glory, and we believe that, and we also believe that it is what is good for mankind, that they would glorify him too, because he has authority over all eternal life. He is the Alpha and Omega. So Jesus prays, for the sake of the world, Father, glorify your Son. And yes, this is on our behalf. Had he not been glorified before us, we would not know him. So Jesus prayed this, glorify your Son. Glorify your Son that others might come to repentance and faith in him, that he might be glorified by them. And then others might come to repentance and faith in him, and then glorify him. And then others might come to repentance and faith in him, and then glorify him. Glorify him for the sake of the world. This is what Jesus prayed. Glorify me for the sake of the world. It's request number one. Request number two. Read verses 11 through 16 with me. And by the way, there's a lot more packed into these verses than we're going to pull out this morning. We just don't have time to pull everything out. We're just going to pull out the high points of the things Jesus requested on our behalf. Read 11 through 16 with me. And I, it's Jesus speaking to the Father, remember, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am speaking to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You hear this word repeated throughout these verses, 11 through 16. Keep them, guard them. Jesus prayed this, request number two. Jesus prayed, Father, guard them in this troubled world for the sake of the world. Verse 11, Holy Father, keep them in your name. That word keep is the way that we keep something precious and valuable. It's the way that you might keep something in a safe that you want protected and saved. That's why in this passage it's interchanged with the word guard. It's the same idea. We keep something, we guard something. Holy Father, keep them in your name. Verse 12, I kept them in your name. Verse 12 also, I have guarded them. Not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. There he's speaking about, if you're familiar with the gospel story, you know that at the Last Supper, Judas, one of the 12, left and turned Jesus into authorities, setting Jesus up to be crucified. And so that's the one he's speaking of, the son of destruction. So Jesus has kept all of his disciples except for Judas so that scripture could be fulfilled. So he's kept his disciples. He's guarded his disciples. Verse 16, he prays specifically that we would be kept from the evil one. That is Satan. Keep, guard, store up, protect. Keep watch over them. Hold on to them. Preserve them. This is what Jesus is praying for us. Jesus specifically says, I'm no longer in the world, but I'm coming to you, Father, but they are in the world. Verse 14, the world has hated them because they are not of the world. So I just want you to take this in for a moment, this request that Jesus made on our behalf to the Father, that the Father would keep us. He would guard us, that he would protect us. Remember, Jesus said earlier on in chapter 16, this world is troubled. So in light of that, Jesus prays for us to be kept, guarded, and protected. He prayed that for you. If you're in Christ today, if you're a Christian today, and you're at home alone, He prayed that for you. You would be kept and guarded. If you're at home with your family, he prayed that for you and your family that belong to him. You're worried about the elderly in your family, or maybe you yourself are elderly, or subject to these medical conditions that make COVID-19 so dangerous. He prayed this for you. That you would be kept and guarded and protected from the evil one. That you would be preserved in the faith. And this isn't necessarily a physical protection. I want to be very clear about this. This isn't a physical protection. Jesus doesn't pray for us not to die in this world. He prays for us to be kept in him so that when we die, we would have life with him and in him for all of eternity. So these prayers, keep them, Father, guard them, Father, are prayers for our spiritual well-being. That though the waves of doubt and questions may come in tumultuous times, our faith would not only not wane, but it would be built up by the Holy Spirit in us, because Jesus has prayed this to be so. That though we die, we might live. He prayed this for you and for me. It's so comforting to think about. Father, guard them in this troubled world for the sake of the world. Now you add that to it, and you see that he's praying that those who belong to him would stay in him, keep the faith in him in this troubled world. He doesn't take us out of the world so that we could keep our faith in him by our own power, but by his power he keeps us in him. He keeps our faith in him, so in the world we might glorify him before men and women and boys and girls and teenagers that don't yet know him, that they might also be in him. So Father, guard them in this troubled world for the sake of the world. Jesus prayed for us. Isn't that so sweet of our Lord to pray that for us? Request 3. Read verses 17 through 19. Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. Word sanctify means to make holy, to set apart for holy purposes. So Jesus prays for all those who would follow him, all those who would repent and place faith in him, us, today. He prayed this for us, that we would be made holy like he is holy, that we would be set apart for the purposes of God, to be used by God. Verse 17, sanctify them. Verse 19, that they may be sanctified in the truth. Jesus says, and the truth is your word. So this very thing that we're doing right now, we believe that Jesus is making us more like himself, making us holy like he is holy, ridding us of sin, making us, changing our desires from sin to himself. Right now, as we expose ourselves to his word and he speaks life into us. And again, he says, as you have sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. He doesn't pray that we would be removed from the world and then made holy. He prays that we would be holy in this world for the sake of the world. I think of this past week, our first week of full-on quarantine at the Donaldson house, as many of you have had, and my wonderful and precious wife has been just working. She teaches school, so she's out at home now with her kids because schools are out, and she has just been working. She is doing everything from like cleaning the house to reorganizing closets and stuff. And as I was thinking about the work of Jesus in our sanctification, I thought about what Charlotte's been doing in her house. See, she's been moving things around the way they need to be. Putting stuff back up where it belongs. But not only that, she's been cleaning just to serve her family. But she's been cleaning. And I think about what Jesus does in us with his word. He takes us and he removes the sin. He cleans us. He disinfects us. Then he begins to reorder our life, reorder our priorities, reorder our joys, and put them back in the way they're supposed to be. This is what Jesus prayed for us, that we would be sanctified in him by his word for the sake of the world. That others might see us and see us like Jesus and turn to him in repentance and faith. It's request number 3. Father, make them like me in this troubled world for the sake of the world. Brings us to request 4. Father, make them one in this troubled world for the sake of the world. Look at verse 20. Read down to 24. Verse 20, Jesus praying, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Request number four that Jesus made on our behalf. Father, make them one in this troubled world for the sake of the world. Look at verse 21 and you see he prays that they may all be one. And that is us. That's the church. That's all believers for all time, that we would all be one. And we see this manifested within each local church. Each local church is one. They function as a single local body with different gifts and different abilities to serve Jesus and point to Jesus and serve the community and point their community to Jesus. Jesus prayed that we would all be one. Verse 22, that they may be one even as we are one. He was speaking to the Father, just as Jesus and the Father are one, that we would have that kind of relationship with one another. Verse 23, that they may become, and he describes it even in more vivid terms, that they would be perfectly one. So you think of things like disunity. You think of things like lack of communication. A lack of, sometimes there's not disunity because of fights and backstabbing. Sometimes there's just disunity because of distance. Because we don't make an effort to be together. Say, why did Jesus pray this? That we would, that those things wouldn't be true of us, but that we would be perfectly one. Reminded of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, which many are and have been wrestling every week in and out with this passage, that encourages the church to not neglect meeting together. Had this prayer of Jesus that we may be one, and this command in Scripture in the New Testament that we don't neglect meeting together. And here we are, all spread out, trying to meet together through the internet. Why of all things would Jesus pray for this, our unity, our oneness, our togetherness? After all, if there was ever a time that might testify to the fact that we don't have to be at the same place in the same time, surely COVID-19 season would testify to that. So why did Jesus pray this? He tells us why. Verse 21. That we would be one so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 23. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Listen, Jesus prayed for our oneness, our unity, our togetherness. Because in our togetherness, we communicate to the world about Jesus. If you participated in Sunday school earlier today, you heard Brother Todd, or maybe your Sunday school teacher, talk about the gospel is for all people, all nations, all people groups, regardless of race or color or nationality. And when the church comes together in oneness, we testify that there are no barriers that the world puts in place between us. We are one. Testifies to the power of Jesus and the peace among those Christians. Testifies to the peace of Jesus, even in the midst of trouble. And the love among those Christians testifies to the love of Jesus, even in the midst of trouble. So this is why we are trying to make an effort to, like Jesus, we pray. Father, unify us in Jesus, not just for our sake, but for the sake of this world, Church, the world is watching the church. They're watching how we respond to this. And so we need to pray that these things that Jesus prayed would be true. No, verse 24, it's Jesus' desire that we are with him, and one day we will be, but it's not time yet, because he still has us in this world. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. I'm going to just echo what Jesus has prayed for us in this passage, and then Dustin's going to come and lead us in a final song, and I just want to invite you just to continue to worship with us as we close our time together, and take these prayers with you this week and just continue to pray them for your own heart, for the hearts of your family, and for the hearts of your church family and for the church worldwide. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you first loved us. We thank you that Jesus, that you sent Jesus on our behalf to live the life that we can't, we haven't, and we won't. Perfectly without sin, to go to the cross, become the sacrifice once and for all. On our behalf. Dying the death that we deserved on the cross. Going to the grave and 3 days later walking out of the grave, conquering sin and death, showing us that he is trustworthy and true. He is the living word, the living bread, the water that quenches our spiritual thirst. God, we thank you for Jesus. And Lord, we pray, we echo his prayer on our behalf now. We pray that you would be glorified in us. That we would continue to point our own hearts towards Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and towards Jesus himself, and towards your word to us. That we would continue to point our own hearts to glorify you in our own hearts, but we would also glorify you in this world for the sake of the world. And Lord, we pray that you would guard us and keep us. Lord, we cannot hold on to our faith on our own. It is impossible for us to hold on to our faith, especially in troubled times, on our own. So Lord, we pray that you would keep us, give us greater faith to hold on to you in the midst of these troubled times. Hold on to us, Lord. Keep us in your hand, just as Jesus told us you would do. Guard us, keep us, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of the world and those that don't know you. God, we pray that you would make us like Jesus, that you would sanctify us, make us holy, disinfect us, remove our sin, and rearrange our hearts and our minds to be like you. Sanctify us, not just for our sake, but for the sake of a dying and lost world. Even in the midst of these troubled days, Lord, we pray that you would just continue your work of sanctification in our hearts, and specifically in the midst of Eastside Baptist Church, we pray that you would just continue to make us more and more like you each and every day. Lord, we pray, just as Jesus prayed, that you would make us one, perfectly one, just as you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are perfectly one. We pray that you would make us perfectly one in you, that we might be able to lean on one another, serve one another, encourage one another during these tumultuous times, that we might be able to point one another to you, but also that our unity would point broken people, hopeless people, in the midst of a troubled world to you, our only hope. Jesus, we thank you for praying for us. We pray that these things that